I'm sitting up at the YHA in Moira, and I've met up with Gary Beale from awellconnected.com. I found out about Gary basically through about four or five different contacts that suggested me to a community project, and then once they found out, you know, what was actually required in terms of laying a fibre connection, they said that Gary was the best man for the job. So Gary, tell me a little bit about your business, what you've been doing for the last 10 years, and about the project that I didn't get down to see on Monday in Blackburn, because that sounded pretty interesting.
Well, yes, we started 10 years ago building PCs and repairing PCs and building up websites and then getting the websites hosted. And then we looked at the whole way the business was running and decided to set up as an ISP and started feeding out to various customers. And one of the very first customers to get connected to us was Consume, who you may have heard. They very much into community networks, and they were based in Greenwich. We were based in Docklands, and they needed a connection. So we put a wireless link from the roof of our building across to them, and that was the first link across the Thames. And we broke quite a few barriers because it was very early kit. We designed a lot of the software ourselves, and also they obviously appreciated being on a decent internet connection for a change, rather than something very slow from the phone companies. So we got that set up, that was all working, and we liked this idea of playing with wireless. So we then started looking around, and we found that even in the Isle of Dogs, which is the bottom half of Docklands, Docklands being the main centre of the internet coming into the UK, that had plenty of internet, but the Isle of Dogs had nothing. So we looked at broadcasting a signal down to people there that couldn't even get ISDN, let alone anything in the way of broadband. And that became quite successful, and then we worked on the technology, and that's evolved over many years. And so we started looking at other just normal connections, and then people started phoning us up and started emailing me and asking, can we do something for them? They'd heard about what we'd done, and as I say, for 10 years now we've just been hounded by everybody saying, can you come and do it for us? Sometimes they can raise funding and we can do a big job very quickly. Other times we just have to try and fund it ourselves, and we'll run it as our own business. Hence, as you mentioned earlier, the one up in Blackburn, we designed a network on behalf of another company probably 4 or 5 years ago, who tried to do it. They tried to get a bit of funding. It wasn't too successful on the funding side, so they then decided to try and charge the clients to get on, but it was £200 or £300 or £400 for each person to sign up, which, although there was no other company there, was no BT, no NTL Virgin or anything like that, so
people just wouldn't see the value of the speed, though, would they? They'd just see the price value, I guess.
It was the price, and also at the time, as there was no internet service there, it was very difficult to find a way to get a connection. So I looked at the way I'd done things previously, which was to sometimes just get a couple of ADSL lines to the nearest property I could and send them over on a wireless link. And so we got that set up. But because of the prohibitive cost of the radio kits at that time, 20 or 30 people signed up. It wasn't enough to really make the business run, so after a year or so that company folded, and then I, having been involved at it from the start, I thought, well, I'll take a gamble on it and see if I can build something from there. So I decided to get a fibre run up there. It was lucky enough it was at the same place where Blackburn Rovers have their training ground, so having had a chat with them and they needed connectivity, we managed to resolve a deal between us, much similar to what we're looking at where we are now, where we can bring a fibre in and we share it amongst the community, and you know, we can get businesses to pay for it and spread the word, and that's what happened. So using partly Rovers financed it, financed towards a fibre, and local businesses got involved and they started buying fibre from me as well, and in the end we had enough money to get the fibre right into the village and a microwave link into the village.
How far away is the village from the ground?
It's about 10 miles outside of town. So we put in two microwave links to take us over a lot of hills, because this is a Ribble Valley, it's very very hilly. So we put in two microwave links. Rovers put in a small fibre connection from their stadium across to the training centre. And between the two now we run a network, and now the network is over 220 houses. And there's 380 in the village. BT are still busy digging up the road and disturbing all the traffic and things, and they've been desperately trying to get connectivity in there for now for some years, and every week they announce it's gone live, and every week TalkTalk and such like send out lots of modems to people, and then they plug them in and find they don't do an awful lot. So consequently, our users are now happily on 2 meg, 4 meg and 10 meg.
And tell me a little bit about the pricing structure on that as well, because this isn't like ADSL, this is fibre.
This is because it's a fibre and a microwave link, it means that it's fully synchronous. So we can do the same speed up and the same speed down, but we find the majority of people don't need as much speed going back up anyway. So we do, the first service we do is 2 meg coming down from the internet and going back up 1 meg, which is far superior to what most providers do anyway. That's $11.99. And then we do a 4 meg service coming down with a 2 meg going back up. That's $17.99. And then we do a synchronous service, because there's a lot of people now want to work from home. So we do a 10 meg synchronous service at £30, which is just an amazing service. And it means they can do VoIP, they can do whiteboarding, they can do VLANs, VPNs, everything they ever wanted to do, they can now do from home, and they don't have to travel, which is great for the environment. There's no fuel being used, you know, they haven't got to sit in traffic for hours to get there and back, and they can remote into anywhere where they should be in an office. We can give them a phone that's an extension of their office, so even if they worked in London and lived 100 miles away, they can now work as if they sat in the office. They can answer the extension number and everything, so it's all it all works very conveniently.
And one of the things that I wanted to bring up is that part of Digital Britain is internet report is that they're hoping to get everybody at least in the country on 2 megabit by 2012, which is just a ridiculous number, really.
I seem to recall they said that 2005 as well.
Well, they've been saying it ever since the internet sort of existed, to be honest. But I mean, like places like Korea and Japan, they've got these super, super fast internet connections. Why aren't more people coming your way to get connectivity? Is it that they just don't know about you, or what is that?
To an extent, they may not know about me. It's very difficult to advertise what we do.
You say me. It's more than you, or...
Oh, yes. There's a few of us in the business now, but it's my company. Yes. It was mine and my partner's company. We set it all up 10 years ago. But if we were to advertise what we're doing, we would just be inundated, and we just haven't got the capital behind us to be able to cover the whole country in a matter of days, you know, because obviously it's quite an expensive thing to do, and it needs a lot of planning. But given capital funding, we could probably get the whole thing up and running by 2012 quite easily, because from the last count, there's at least 500 exchange areas that are struggling to get half a meg or more, and some can't get anything at all. So when you come away from that, the next stage is possibly 2 to 3 meg, that could encompass about 1,200 exchanges.
Yeah.
It's obviously across the whole country. I know most of the government wording would state that 70% of the country has got internet. That 70% is normally urban.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the other 30% that are out in the wilds get left behind.
Yeah.
And hence the reason that we're building this network of a mixture of fibre and microwave around the whole of the UK. And from that, we can feed out to businesses, and we can feed out to communities, and hopefully give them a good connection and allow them to be like the rest of the world on the fast lane.
And this is the thing about the community aspect in the countryside for me, is that a lot of these Web2 startups who have managers who travel into London, they travel into London purposely because they haven't got any connectivity at home.
It's very true.
And if they had connectivity at home, they'd probably buy an area bolted onto the side of the house and run the company from there. There's also farmers and distribution places around here that have to travel with a van full of foods to the local markets in Ashby. They don't know how much they're going to sell, but if they have connectivity around here and prove as a case to people, look, you know, I've got this much going in the van, it's on the website, what bits do you want me to drop off, GPS tracking all around the runaway, all this can work with the wireless cloud.
Oh, yes.
My vision is to have solar-powered Wi-Fi access points across the 200 miles of the National Forest. Not to say, look what we can do, but to say to BT, you know, you're charging X amount of money to dig trenches to lay cable when we can do it another way, which is a lot better for the environment, actually, really, if you think about it.
It is. You'd need just a wee bit more than solar energy, though, in this country. So we tend to put some wind behind as well, small wind turbines. And
I could power that, then.
Yes, there is that. And also a bank of batteries, because obviously some days there's no sun, there's no wind.
Yeah.
But certainly the whole ecological way of doing things would be far superior. Yes, the radio units take very small amount of power, so it could easily be powered up from that.
Great. Thank you very much for your time, Gary.
No problem whatsoever. Thank you.